with verse number 5. Verse 3 through 5 dealt with the small tongue can direct our destiny. And that's what we need to get from that when James dealing with the tongue. And James is not holding anything back when he's talking about the tongue, because the tongue, even though it's small, it's very powerful. It can do some damage, or it can encourage. So the words that we speak, it affects those that are around us. And so we have to be careful. If we speak evil, we will stir up strife among others. But if we speak smooth words, then the fire of hate and anger will be extinguished. And so James continues in verse number 6. He says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell." Now notice what he says. The tongue is a fire. And so the tongue, sinful words, can spread destruction rapidly. And so it's just like anything else. It can ruin everything around it. In other words, it can break up a home. It can alienate friends. It can ruin reputations. I'm talking about that small little thing that's in our mouth that's called the tongue. The tongue can do some destructive things. And so he says now, the tongue is a fire. And we know about fire, right? If it's out, if it gets out of control, guess what it'll do? It'll destroy. We've seen forest fires where it has destroyed homes, trees, anything in its path. And so just picture how that fire can destroy things around it. Just picture that little tongue that you have can do that kind of damage. And so we have to be careful. So he says that not only is a fire, but it's a world of what? Iniquity. And so we must remember that it is the improper use of the tongue which James is talking about here. So James is not just talking about just the tongue, but he's talking about what this tongue can do, how destructive it can be. And so we have to understand, it's a world of iniquity. And so when you look at this phrase here, when he talks about the world of iniquity, this phrase is an expression, is a design of which is to indicate the sum of evil. The sum of evil, the tongue, because it's great, because it's powerful, it can destroy. But he goes on and said, notice, it's not only is it a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among what? Our members. Why he say that? Because of the fact, because of the harm which it produces. Yes, it can lift up, but it can also tear down. And so because of the harm which it produces, it is impossible to measure in this life. Because the harm which grows, it grows out of slander, it grows out of gossip, it grows out of profanity, it grows out of falsehood, it grows out of blasphemy. All of these things that this tongue is capable of doing. Well, that's powerful, isn't it? That one little thing that you have is powerful. And so we have to understand. But not only that, but guess what it does? It defileth what? Some of the body? No, the whole body. That means it pollutes. It contaminates the whole body. And so we see that, and you go back and read Mark chapter 7 in verse 20. Mark 7 and verse 20 and Jude 23. And so it defileth, it polluteth, it contaminates the body. But not only that, look what else it does. He says, it setteth on fire the course of nature. And it better translated the circle of life. The circle of life. So this underscores that the tongue's evil can even extend beyond the individual. Not only extend beyond the individual, guess what? It affects everything in the sphere of his influence. That's something to think about, right? It gives us something to think about, that this little thing that in our mouth can do all of that. Yes, it can. So it sets on fire the course of nature, but then notice what he says. And it is set on fire of hell. Now, what is he talking about? This word, hell, is translated in the word Gehenna. We've heard Gehenna, the valley of Hinnom. And so in crisis time, what he is really talking about, in crisis time, this valley that he's talking about, the Gehenna, what it was a valley that laid southwest of Jerusalem walls. And what it served a purpose, and it served as a city dump, as it was known for its constant burning fire. And what would happen was that this garbage of the city, it was carted out there in sufficient quantity. I mean, it was a large quantity, and they had to burn, and thus the fire was constantly burning. And so not only that, even bodies were occasionally thrown there and burned. And so what is he saying? Jesus, he uses this place to symbolize the eternal place of punishment and torment. So he's talking about this. So when you look at Mark, in Mark chapter 9, let's go to it. Mark chapter 9 and about verse 43. Mark 9 and verse 43. And notice what he says in verse 43 of Mark chapter 9. He says, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go where? Into hell. Into the fire that what? Never shall be quenched. You remember what I just said earlier? It was a continual fire. They would put garbage in, and so the fire would never go out. And then when you drop down to verse 45, he uses the illustration of the foot. If the foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the quench that, into the fire that never shall be quenched. And so we got to understand, y'all, that we can only, we'll go to one or two places when we die. Heaven, our destination, or hell. But you remember, hell is going to burn forever. You're going to be there forever and ever and ever. So Jesus is using this to symbolize the punishment. And so James is talking about this fire. So James is speaking of a tongue which has not been dedicated to God. Not only that, it's cutting words that can destroy people. And so before we are saved, guess what? We all had wicked tongues. I guess somebody say, well, after we saved, some of us still have wicked tongues. And that's true. Before we were saved, yes, we had wicked tongues. But when we obeyed the gospel, we got to understand we should have turned over that evil part of our body over to the control of the Spirit of God. We should have turned our entire soul, our body over to God when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have what? Have become new. So when we go back to that again, so James says now, again in verse 6, he says that the tongue is a fire. So he's describing the negative part of the tongue. That part that can destroy, that part that can defile, it's a fire, it's a whirl of iniquity. So the tongue among our members, it defileth the whole body, setteth it on fire, the course of nature, and it's set on fire of hell. And then he says in verse 7, now notice what he does. Now he said, now listen, every kind of beast, every kind of birds and serpents and of the things of the sea, what happened? It's tame. It's tame. But then he says, it has been tamed of what? Mankind. When you look at the word tame, the word tame occurs only one other time in the New Testament. And that's in Mark chapter 5 and verse 4. Mark chapter 5 and verse 4. That's the only other time that you see the word tame in the New Testament. It's right here, and it's in Mark chapter 5 and verse number 4. And so when he's talking about this taming here, he says about the beasts and the sea and all of these things has been tamed of mankind. The taming has nothing to do with the domesticating animals or training them to perform. So what is he talking about? The meaning is to control. So he goes back, you remember, he talks about the horse. How is the horse controlled? By the bit. That's how you get the horse under control. And he used the illustration of the ship, with the rudder. And so understand what he's saying is, listen, mankind can control every lesser creature, but no one can control his own tongue. He can control the animal, but he have a problem controlling his tongue. So that's what James is talking about. Why? Why is that? Because why is a because it's a human tongue and not an animal tongue. And so he's saying that, listen, in verse 8 it goes along with it, but the tongue can what? No man tame. Why is it? Because it's an unruly evil and what? Full, man, of deadly poison. Boy, that's, this is something. So when you look at that, the tongue is the most difficult thing in the world to tame. Because James is going to, you're going to see James later on talking about that. Because out of the mouth, he's going to talk about that in verse 10 when we get to it. Out of the mouth, that is what? Blessing and cursing. out of the same mouth. You can sit up there and just say, man, you can bless somebody, and say something good, but then that same mouth, in that same breath, you can curse them out. James said that shouldn't be. And we're going to see that. And so why? Because the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly. It's evil. Well, watch this. Not only that, it's deadly poison. What do they have on? What they have on the label for poison? Don't they have a label on that? And what does that mean? It's deadly. It's deadly. And so we got to understand the tongue, he says, is a deadly poison. Why? Because it can murder people's reputation. It can kill folk. Not literally, but I'm talking about words. Words. By slander, it utters backbiting and all of these things. They are poisonous. They can kill. And so we got to understand. So he says, can no man tame? Listen, only God by his power can do this. God can do it. Because we've seen it in Acts chapter 2. You remember the day of Pentecost? You read that in Acts chapter 2 in verse number 1 through verse number 11. What he did, what he talks about when he talks about the tongue there. And so we got to understand, what do we got to do then? Well, what we have to do is that we have to allow God to tame the tongue. And only he can. We got to allow him to do that. Well, how can we do that? Well, let me give you a few verses. Let's look over a few verses on the evil of the tongue and what we can do about it. Let's look at Psalms. Let's go to Psalms 34 and verse 13. Psalms 34 and verse 13. And let's see what it has to say about the tongue. In Psalms 34 and verse 13, he says, keep thy tongue from what? From evil. Are y'all there yet? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. That's Psalm 34 and verse 13. This is what we have to do. Keep thy tongue from what? Evil. Well, why is that? Because we have seen what it can do. And so he said, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. And then we're going to go to Psalms 50. Psalms 50 and verse 19. Psalms 50 and verse 19. Let's see what he has to say to that. The psalmist said, thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. So it can be deceiving. And so we got to understand that the tongue is dangerous. Well, you're talking about the Old Testament. Is there anything in the New Testament? Yes. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 Peter 3 and verse 10. And there's a lot more scripture, but I just want you, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, for he that will love what? Life. Now, if you want to love life, if you want to see good days, I believe all of us want to see good days. I believe all of us want to live a good life. Well, what are you going to have to do? Peter says, listen, this is what you're going to have to do. Let him refrain his tongue from evil. Y'all see that? And his lips that they speak no guile. Every day, we have to give ourselves a spiritual checkup. When we rise up in the morning, when you ask God, God, help me to make it through today. Lord, help me to say the right thing and do the right thing. But let me tell you something. You're saying that when you get up. But when you face the world, when you get out, the tests start coming. Not only you don't have to even leave your house when the telephone rings. Well, you know, I don't have a telephone there now. I got cell. When your cell phone rings. And so we got to understand, we have to always keep ourselves in check. Because why? Because I want to live a life, I want to see good days. So what I have to do, I got to keep myself in check. Because I got to understand that if I don't keep this tongue under control, it can do some damage. And we have to understand that I've talked about that, that whatever comes out of your mouth, you cannot catch it. It's out there. You can ask for forgiveness, Lord, forgive me, but the damage has been done. So y'all, it's so important. And James is just letting that. So the only way that any of us can speak pure words is with a heart, with a mouth, and a tongue that's dedicated to God. And so we have to understand it. So that's what James is doing here. And now what James does is when you go to verse number 9. He said, therewith. You're going to see two words here. You're going to see bless, and you're going to see curse. He says now, therewith, bless we God, even the Father. But then he says, therewith, curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. The first thing we see, he says, bless. And that word means to speak well of. To speak well of. It was a tradition for Jews to add, bless be to mention God's name. And we see that when you go to Psalms chapter 68. Let's look at that. Psalm 68. And we see that in Psalm 68. Whenever I get to it. All right. And let's look at verse number 19. In verse 19, he said, bless, you see that? Because the Jews often used, they always added the bless, be. So in verse 19, he said, blessed be the what? Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. And then when you drop down to verse 35, we see it again. In verse 35, he says, O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy place. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. What we see? Blessed be God. And so it was a tradition for the Jews to add blessed be. All right? Because it mentions God's name. And so he says now, blessed. He said, bless. All right. Bless be we God, even the Father. All right. So what we see, number one, we see bless. But the opposite of it, we see what? Curse. All right. We see curse. Therewith curse we men. The tongue also not only wishes good things, but also, the tongue also wishes evil on people. So, it can be good, and then out of the same breath, it can be bad. And so we're going to see that. He says, but then he says, made after the similitude of God. In other words, man was made in God's image. And that's what he's dealing with. He's talking about God's image. And so James explained that man is made in God's image. And we know that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. We are made in the image of God. So what that means is this. It means to curse people and yet bless God is inconsistent. It's inconsistent. And so it still exists. And so through the fall of mankind, Adam and Eve, what happened? Has marred the image or likeness. And so James teaches that it still exists today. Right here in the text. One, they bless. And then as the same thing, it's curse. And so it's inconsistent. It's inconsistent. And so in our society, what we would call it? We'll call it two-faced, right? And what's two-faced? You act one way around, then you act another way, right? Hypocrite. And so that's what he's talking about. So Jesus gave two commands then to cover all of this. And what was the two commands that he used? Look at Mark chapter 12. In Mark chapter 12, in verse 30 and 31, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what? Heart. With all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is likely. Namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And then in verse 40 he says, in Matthew 22 and verse 40, on these two covenants hang all the laws and the prophets. And so it's an impossibility, church. It's impossible to love God and hate his creation. You can't do it. You can't do it. And so we got to understand. So what James does is, James concludes by saying, out of the same mouth then, what we see here, what we have just experienced, he says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. That's what he's saying. To say we are Christians is not enough. That's not enough. We must become Christ-like. All right? We got to become Christ-like to truly be a Christian. All right? We can say all we want to, but guess what? Your action. Your action speaks louder than what? Words. We can say all we want to, but your action say something differently. And so when he was persecuted, he blessed. And so if our heart is truly stayed upon God, if we truly love God, and if our heart is stayed upon God, guess what? There would be no evil proceed out of our mouths if we truly love God. So that's what James does. So James conclude all of this by saying, within that tongue, within that mouth, you got a small little tongue, and within that it can go one or two ways. It can be a blessing, or it can be a curse. But you're trying to bless and curse at the same time, that's not going to work. And so as Christians, we ought to be a what? Blessing. Y'all agree with that? We ought to be blessings because God has blessed us. All right? And so next week we're going to, at verse 11 and verse 12, what he's going to do then is that he's going to give three illustrations. He's going to use three illustrations from nature that demonstrates the sinfulness of cursing. All right? So that's where James is going to take us. All right? And so we got to understand. The genuine Christian will not contradict his profession of faith by the regular use of unwholesome words. If you're a Christian, you're going to act like a Christian. You're going to live like a Christian. You're going to be a Christian. And as a Christian, what we have to understand is we are about building up and not tearing down. And that's what we have to learn. And so at the end of the day, you and I need to sit down and look within ourselves to see, was I a blessing today or was I not? How did I conduct myself? What did I conduct myself today that was pleasing and acceptable unto God? See, if we start doing that every day, when we get up, and then at the end of the day, we take an inventory on our lives, you will be amazed. Because there are going to be some days that I didn't get it right. And those days that I didn't get it right, that I said things I shouldn't have said, you need to ask God to forgive you and get it right. Y'all follow me? Because we got to understand. As he talked about it, when he talked about hell, let me tell you something. You don't want God to take you when you are in that situation, when you are not living like you should, when you said the wrong thing. Let me tell you something. You might not get a chance to get it right. Now is the time. That if I said something, if I did something, I need to get it right now, because I don't know whether I'll live to see a next minute, the next hour. And so James is dealing with something, y'all, is serious. The tongue that he's talking about is serious. It can do damage or it can help. And so we'll pick up, Lord's willing, again on verse 11 and verse 12, because those two scriptures, those two verses go together. And so I hope that we've said something, and James has dealt through this, that we've said something that we go back and look over our lives, and that we make sure that we are doing what God wants us to do. I don't worry about nobody. I need to worry about me. To make sure I'm living, to make sure I'm doing, to make sure that I'm saying the right thing. Because I don't want to have to leave this world standing up before God and he says, depart from me. I never knew you. That was going to be some of the saddest words. And guess what? Just like we talk about how they put that garbage in there and it's a continual fire. When you go to hell, it's continual. Forever and ever and ever. And so again, we'll pick up, Lord's willing, with verse number 11 and verse 12 and continue in James chapter 3. Thank you again for your attention, and thank those.